And unless we ultimately keep pushing back there, then these things won't change. But we need more action. We need stronger action beyond, you know, marches and petitions and symbolic gestures. We need action on the ground.
What action is it that we can take? Because, you know, I mean, this government in particular, people had a lot of hope for the Labour government, and we've seen it worse than, you know, you could have imagined, the amount of arrests that are happening, the control of trying to control and, you know, not ensure that this movement goes ahead. But what can we do other than marching and being on the streets? Look, now, if somebody's watching and is really feeling the pain, you know, for the Palestinians, what can we do?
The economic isolation of Israel is vital, and we have many historic examples served to us, from how the Irish defended their rights to South Africa apartheid, which is really vital. The BDS movement was one of the most powerful things that we have done worldwide to support that. We need full economic sanctions, not limited to partial boycott, partial divestment, partial sanction. Everything must stop. Israel is a racist apartheid state now committing genocide. It has been endorsed for far too long. It never should have been, but we have the power to dismantle it. It's to refuse to purchase any goods. If you work in a shop, if you're in a union, mobilize them. Get them to support us so that we don't have to handle, ship, load, move any products to and from Israel. It has to be full isolation. And we must ensure that the Palestinians have the right to practice the armed struggle. Because when you look at the South African apartheid movement, it supported the armed struggle, and only in that did they manage to fight and liberate themselves with the world supporting BDS.
And of course, armed struggle, you know, international law allows that when you are an occupied, you know, entity. Armed struggle is something that is within the international law. But time is also running out, Lubna, for Palestinians. And I think, you know, it's so vital right now for the world to really come together. And all other differences can wait. But right now, you know, people are literally being erased. We heard the story of Nof and the pain of the children and the women. And I think, you know, it's really high time that this is put to an end. Thank you so much, Lubna, for being with us today. And thank you. We wrap up today's show with the beautiful sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Until next time, goodbye.
Faith in our hearts will always rise.
Ali hubbuhu junna, wasimu al-nari wal-janna, wasiyu al-mustafa haqqan, imamu al-nasi wal-jinna.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of an introduction to Nahjul Balagha. And we are currently going through a few of the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. One of those sayings or one of those wisdoms is the 333rd wisdom of Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions about the qualities of the believers. We reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Maghmurun bifikratihi," that a believer is one who is engrossed in his thoughts. And that of course means that he spends a good amount of time, or you can say a quality time, in pondering and thinking. And it's just not normal pondering and thinking, but rather the ability to go beyond, to think about the inner realities of this universe, and not just about the apparent level of this earth, the apparent level of this world and the universe and its actions and its states.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, one of the important things that we discussed previously is that through the process of thinking, you come to realize that there is an inherent reality to this apparent world. And we say that this itself gives you peace when you are addressing adversities, problems, and difficulties. Because when you look at the various verses of the Quran and the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, you will recognize that these difficulties have an inherent nature which is beautiful, which a person will experience in the hereafter, but also can experience in this world if he's pure enough. can experience certain, you can say, sparks of that inherent realm, inshallah. But also, if the actions are bad and evil, then they will have an evil reality. That means they will have a painful reality. Although they might look beautiful, they might look something that is good, like when a person looks with an unlawful gaze to anything. The riwayat and the the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam say that fire engulfs the eyes. You know, when a person looks at these things that are not permissible, you can look at the Sharia and see what are those things that are not permissible. But if a person purposely looks at what is impermissible and seeks to pleasure himself, the apparent level of this is pleasurable, but the inherent reality is pain and fire in the eyes. So this is malakut. So if a person were to spend time to ponder on the malakut, the inherent reality, then it will stop him from committing sins and will give him the right perspective to struggle for the good and to be patient in adversities and difficulties. You see, it just requires a change in perspective, which is achieved through this process of pondering and thinking. So a believer is like that. He spends time to think, so he has the correct perspectives about this universe.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, one of the other important aspects of pondering is to use the opportunity to think, to be able to recognize that everything is a sign of God. Everything. At the end of the day, everything manifests the names of God at their own level. The rocks, the trees, the plants, the animals, they don't have anything in themselves. All of their positive aspects, their good aspects, are all manifestations of the names of God and nothing else. But few people spend the time to think, so that when they go to these places, they recognize that these are the signs of God. They rarely recognize that these are signs. They just appreciate the beauty, but they don't appreciate the fact that these are signs of God. And once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains about these people. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها. How many a sign in the heavens and the earth do they pass by, وهم عنها معرضون, while they are completely oblivious of them. They have turned away from them. Allah says they are passing by them. That means they are looking at this garden, they are looking at this tree, they are looking at the universe, the black holes and the stars and the galaxies. But they are not looking at them as creations of God, nor as manifestations of His beauty. And Allah complains about them because they do not think, they do not ponder, they do not spend time to contemplate on the fact that these are all manifestations of His names. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
A diverse range of programs. Youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The Israeli military offensive dubbed Iron Wall, which began in the Jenin refugee camp, has now entered its 258th day. The regime forces have carried out repeated incursions, demolitions, and large-scale arrests ever since, leaving civilians to bear the brunt of the violence. Local and international organizations report that at least 100 Palestinians have been killed since the beginning of the campaign.
Life as a displaced person is incredibly hard. Every day feels empty and unfair. Nothing can balance the hardships we face. But my wife has been my strength throughout with her love, patience, and support. She even sacrificed her own possessions to help us survive and work together side by side. I don't know where I would be without her. She gives me hope, courage, and the will to keep moving forward. Our love is the only thing that makes life bearable in these times, and I'm endlessly grateful for her presence in my life.
Beyond the human toll, the scale of destruction is staggering. More than 5,220 homes and buildings have been demolished, including residential units, shops, and public infrastructure. The damage has forced thousands of families into an already dire humanitarian situation, with many unable to return to their neighborhoods.
I miss the normalcy of life, waking up to familiar sounds, the smell of fresh bread from the bakery, children playing in the streets. I miss my garden, my small courtyard, the evenings spent with family and neighbors. Here, there's nothing like that. Every day is the same, long, empty, and full of waiting. I dream that one day I can return home, even for a little while, just to feel the air there, walk in the streets, see my family's belongings.
I've been displaced since the very beginning of the invasion. My home is just a few meters away, but I can't reach it. I see it from a distance every day, and it's heartbreaking. Everything I built, all my memories are gone. Life has stopped. There's no work, no school for the children, nothing normal anymore. We live in fear and uncertainty. Every night is full of anxiety. It's like we don't exist, trapped between what was and what might be.
The continued displacement of around 50,000 Palestinians highlights the growing crisis. Families are scattered across temporary shelters, relatives' homes, and overcrowded facilities, with limited access to health care, clean water, and basic supplies. The humanitarian toll is deepening as the operation prolongs.
The West Bank continues to face severe devastation under Israel's Iron Wall operation. Communities are shattered, homes demolished, and thousands of families forced to flee as the humanitarian crisis deepens. Tiba Asi, occupied Jenin.
Yeah.
Doctors for Palestine, bikers for Palestine, and people from all walks of life took to the streets of Germany in some of the largest demonstrations against Israeli genocide in Gaza since the Al-Aqsa flood operation in 2023. 20,000 people, some organizers say even 30,000, joined the protest march in Düsseldorf, which was organized by Arab and Muslim communities.
It didn't start on October 7. The genocide started in 1948. We will never stop to resist it. No matter what the police does here in Germany, we will never stop supporting Palestine until it's free.
The demonstration was spearheaded by a group of over 50 activists on motorbikes from the group Bikers for Palestine. Speakers from various pro-Palestine campaign groups addressed the protest.
We lit the torch of freedom with Gaza. Following the freedom of Palestine, we will carry it further to wherever oppression exists. In Sudan, Yemen, Congo, everywhere where people are fighting for freedom, and also here in Germany.
Speakers criticized the ongoing German support for Israel, including the continued arms trade and the signing of a new trade agreement on Friday, as well as the repression of Palestine solidarity activism in the country.
Because my whole heart, my whole brain, my whole being, as my whole existence is for Palestine, and we really have to free this beautiful country, this beautiful people, and we have to stop this genocide.
Speakers and participants also expressed their support for Lebanon, Yemen and Iran against the Israeli aggression.
I'm here to make a statement for Palestine, but also for Lebanon. A year ago, much Lebanese blood was shed. Lebanon lost a precious treasure on September 27th with the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and the brutal pager attack. They accepted everything and supported Palestine. When we say free Palestine, we also mean Lebanon, Yemen and Iran.
It is a tsunami of fascism and hatred sweeping across Gaza, and it didn't stop in Germany. The repression and oppression frighten me. The long-prepared hatred of Muslims in Germany frightens me. Zionism will fall because we are fighting it and we're millions.
Two separate demonstrations were also held in the capital Berlin, which attracted up to 100,000 participants. At a smaller protest in Berlin, several arrests were made.
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people marched in solidarity with Palestine across Germany this weekend. Pressure is mounting on Friedrich Merz and his government to recognize the state of Palestine. Another mass demonstration against the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza and the wars in Eastern Europe will be held in Berlin on Friday. Dieter Reinisch, Düsseldorf.
Addressing crowds of tens of thousands of Hezbollah supporters in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, as well in the cities of Baalbek and Tyre, Sheikh Naim Qassem, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, stressed that the Israeli regime failed in achieving its goals in last year's war, while the resistance remained intact.
Israel, with the unconditional support of the U.S. and Europe, aimed to annihilate the resistance to impose greater Israel on the region. However, the enemy failed to break Hezbollah, not through assassinations, not through warfare, and not through politics.
Sheikh Qassem underlined the duty of the Lebanese government to put a stop to all the Israeli violations since the declaration of a ceasefire, while also uncovering that the resistance has recuperated. The people of the resistance, he stressed, are unwavering. This was reflected in the words of the people who attended the commemoration.
We lost our leader, Sayyid Hassan, and that's a wound in our heart, but this has given us more determination and strength. If the resistance ended with the martyrdom of Sayyid Hassan, then faith would have ended with Karbala. We are stronger than they think.
The resistance is our heart and soul. We can never forsake it until the day we die. God willing, we will retaliate for the assassination of Sayyid Hassan and all the martyrs who left us.
I accepted my only son as martyr for the sake of this just cause. Every time a martyr falls, this makes us stronger and is in itself a victory. We are not concerned with what our enemies say. We will stay on Sayyid Hassan's path.
High-ranking officials from various countries, including Iran, attended the martyrdom anniversary of Sayyid Nasrallah and Sayyid Hashem Safiyyuddin, despite Israeli and U.S. threats. Israel had launched a full-scale aggression on Lebanon in September of 2024. On September 27th, it launched over 80 tons of bunker buster missiles, annihilating an entire neighborhood to assassinate Sayed Nasrallah and accompanying resistance commanders. Israeli assassinations of individuals continue today, even within civilian grounds.
1 year on, Hezbollah seems to have transformed the martyrdom anniversary of Sayed Hassan Nasrallah and Sayed Hashem Safiyuddin, along with a line of resistance commanders, into a new phase of mobilization. Apart from the military, the popular support is unprecedented. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The UK's Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service has ruled that Dr. Rahma Al-Adwan is fit to practice, rejecting accusations of anti-Semitism stemming from her social media posts and public appearances. The case, which was brought by a pro-Israel advocacy group, marks the second time the doctor has successfully defended her license against such complaints. The tribunal's decision reinforces the legal distinction between criticism of Israel and anti-Semitism in the context of professional conduct.
There's no purpose having a free speech if it doesn't entitle you to offend other people. And, you know, that's, you know, we live in a democracy, and that's meant to be the cornerstone of our society. So Rahma's done nothing here today apart from exercising that right to free speech, and we all must do so.
The pro-Israel groups alleged that Dr. Al-Adwan's precise terminology, specifically her use of Jewish supremacy instead of Zionism, was in itself proof of misconduct. They argued that this linguistic choice amounted to harassment of British Jews and made her a risk to Jewish patients. The tribunal's dismissal of the charges represents a significant legal blow to the strategy of equating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism to silence criticism of Israel.
It's clear that this is not an isolated case. Campaigners point to a wider pattern of the pro-Israel lobby in the UK going after professionals who speak up for Palestine, from teachers to lawyers and now to doctors.
Dr. Al-Adwan's supporters have thrown their full weight behind her case. Amongst them were three doctors facing similar allegations in pending tribunals.
As doctors, we respect the sanctity of life, and this genocide goes exactly against that. And in addition, it's not only the genocide in Gaza, naturally, that we strongly oppose and want to stop. We also oppose the Zionist lobby working overtime to suppress doctors' free speech.
The high volume of complaints filed with the GMC against doctors for expressing pro-Palestinian or anti-Zionist views has in itself been labeled a form of harassment.
I felt like there was a sense of shame from GMC Council. They were not there because I've harmed anyone, and they were not there because I'm a danger. They were there so that they do not upset the Israel lobby.
In its decision, the tribunal cited Dr. Al-Adwan's right to freedom of expression under the European Convention on Human Rights, which in a democracy rightly held more authority than the Zionist lobby. Latifa Abu Shara, Manchester.
An academic and research conference was held at the Iranian Cultural Consulate in Islamabad to commemorate the enduring legacy of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, the 13th century Persian poet, mystic, and Sufi philosopher. The event brought together scholars, intellectuals, and participants from diverse backgrounds who reflected on Rumi's centuries-old message of love, tolerance, and spiritual harmony that continues to inspire millions across the world today.
Rumi's message in all his works is peace and friendship, rooted in the teachings of the Prophet of Islam. At a time when hospitals are being destroyed, children starved, and innocent lives lost in Gaza under the shadow of global powers, his call for compassion and humanity is more urgent than ever.
One of the key highlights of the conference was the launch of Urdu and English editions of Risala-Sipah-e-Salar, a classical Persian text written by one of Rumi's closest disciples. The book offers a rare window into Rumi's life, teachings, and the spiritual influence he left on his followers.
Rumi's poetry is full of love, peace, and humanity. His writings teach us to care for each other and to live with tolerance and harmony.
Participants at the gathering stressed that Rumi's message of tolerance, harmony, and coexistence holds deep relevance today, especially in the face of the Gaza genocide, where calls for peace and justice grow louder against Israeli aggression.
The writings and poems of Rumi, from beginning to end, are centered on peace and love. In a world divided by wars and oppression, especially when we see the suffering of innocent Palestinians in Gaza in relation to Israeli oppression, Rumi's message becomes even more urgent because Rumi reminds us that true faith stands with justice, compassion, and the defense of the oppressed.
This literary gathering has become a moment of global reflection, where the centuries-old wisdom of Rumi is being connected with urgent need for peace and compassion, including in Gaza, where the human cost of conflict continues to mount. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
Yemen-Israeli in mass numbers Friday to commemorate the martyrdom of late Lebanese resistance leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. They chose to honor him by calling on the Muslim world to carry forward the cause for which Sayyid Nasrallah was martyred.
We choose to commemorate the resistance leader by being ready for battle by land, air, or sea, against the U.S. or the Zionists in occupied Palestine or anywhere in the world. By Allah, we will liberate Palestine from these tyrants and oppressors.
We tell our leader Sayyid al-Houthi, we are your weapons, we are your missiles and drones, ready for you to use us in battle against all those who have wronged us.
On this occasion, protesters also directed strong condemnation against Arab regimes that have chosen to side with Israel.
The American and Zionist Arabs, do you not believe in Allah? You seek support and help from Trump to end the wars. Do you not believe in the power of Allah? You call for Trump to aid you. It is only Allah who can help. Shame on all you Arabs.
Many here said the martyrdom of resistance leaders in recent years have only strengthened their conviction, believing that each sacrifice brings them one step closer to liberating Al-Aqsa.
A day after Israel carried out a wave of airstrikes on the capital, Yemenis are on the streets to reaffirm that the continuous Israeli aggression against their country will not deter Yemen from standing with Gaza. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
Welcome back, dear listeners. I'm delighted to share what's arriving in the next hour on Iran Radio. Keep your dial set as we have so much more to discover. For this hour, we're featuring Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Sayyid Zain Ahmad, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, and Sheikh Ruhullah Rouhani will answer your questions about ways to know God, the attributes of the Almighty, prophecy, and beliefs. These questions are sent to us via cyberspace and email. A thoughtful discussion for the day. Following this program, we have another segment of radio productions for this hour. We sincerely hope you enjoy it. Then we have this unique program, Muslim Lady, hosted by Sister Asma Ansari and Sister Zainab Askeri. This is a meticulously curated program for Muslim women. It deals with a variety of subjects in relations to Muslim women. Please stay with us for Q&A on Islamic beliefs.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. With me, Atta, the host of this program, Sheikh Karimi, who is over here to talk about today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
So how are you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, today's question asked, it is said that the deeds of the month or deeds in general are presented to Imam al-Mahdi. What does it mean exactly? Na'uzu billah, Imam al-Mahdi is not God, that our acts be presented to him. But what do we mean when we say our deeds are presented to him?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we have this concept known as ardul a'mal, the fact that our deeds are presented through the angels to the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is the first point, that it's not only Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We believe that the deeds are presented to the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And it's not only a Shi'i belief. I will mention some Sunni narrations also referring to the same point. And before that, there is a very clear verse, ayah in the Quran, referring to this notion. And that is chapter At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 105. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا. Say, go on working, do your deeds. فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Allah will see your deeds, your conduct, but not only Allah, وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Your sins, your deeds are seen by God, by His messenger, and the believers, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ.
All right.
So, what does it mean? I mean, we know that Allah is, seeing our actions.
All seeing, that's right.
Yeah. And so another question is that what about the Prophet? And some may argue that it is referring to the time of the Prophet, that he was witnessing the deeds of his companions. But this is not the case, because it is also referring to future. فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ. Even in the future, your deeds are seen by the Prophet, even after the Prophet. And not only the Prophet, the believers.
Yes.
So we need to refer to the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt to come to realize what this notion of seeing the deeds by the Prophet and by the Imams mean.
All right.
So there are many narrations in this regard. For example, in Basair al-Darajat, Sheikh Safar has collected about more than 80 narrations referring to the concept of Ardul Amal, presentation of the deeds, to the Prophet and to the Imams. As I mentioned, first of all, it's not limited to the Imam of the time that we are talking about in our time. Some narrations refer to the fact that even in our time, our deeds are presented to the Prophet.
All right.
So for sure here, we are not referring to the Prophet in the physical form, so he has passed away. But being in the world of Barzakh, based on the conditions of the realm of Barzakh, he is able to see and witness our actions.
Okay.
So let me share some narrations regarding the Prophet.
And for sure, even the souls of the Prophets and the Imams after their demise is living in Barzakh now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is for sure.
It's not so far. I mean, so that the soul was purified, it is close to realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
no,
or behind
no.
Barzakh.
Whoever passes away, they are living the time in the world of Barzakh.
All right.
And now the question is that, are the people who passed away able to have a kind of connection to people in this world?
All right.
Then the answer is that it depends on the status of their soul. Some people, like the prophets, are prophets, the imams, because of the lofty status of their soul, they can have, I mean, any kind of connection to this world, not in the physical form, of course.
All right.
The believers, in terms of their actions, their status, they may also be able to have some connections to this world.
Okay.
And that is why you see that sometimes people see through dreams their people who have passed away, and they receive some true news, and so on and so forth.
All right.
So, for example, the narrator says that I asked Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that anil a'mal hal yu'radu ala Rasulullah. Are the actions presented to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family? قال ما فيه شك. The Imam says that there is no doubt about that. أرأيت قول الله تعالى اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون. So the Imam is referring to this verse that I quoted earlier, that this verse is referring to the fact that our actions are presented to the Prophet.
All right.
Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam said, إِنَّ الْأَعْمَالُ تُعْرَضُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. All the actions are presented to the Prophet, أَبْرَارَهَا وَفُجَّارَهَا, whether the deeds of good people or the bad people.
Okay.
A person asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Sama'a narrates that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, مَا لَكُمْ تَسُوءُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So it's many years after the demise of the Prophet. But Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said to some of his companions that, why do you make the Prophet upset? فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ كَيْفَ نَسُوءُهُ. A person asked, I mean, we are not living in his time. We are not able to see him. How we are able to make him upset? فَقَالَ أَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ أَعْمَالَكُمْ تُعْرَضُ عَلَيْهِ. Do you not know that your actions are presented to him? That is the Prophet. فَإِذَا رَأَى فِيهَا مَعْسِيَةً سَاءَهُ ذَلِكَ. When he sees, the Prophet sees some acts of disobedience committed by you, then he's getting upset. فَلَا تَسُوءُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So do not make him upset. وَسَرُّهُ. Try to make him happy.
That's right.
So these are only few narrations talking about the fact that our actions are presented to the Prophet.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, and he passed away. So what about Imam al-Mahdi, who is alive now?
Okay. Now I will talk about the fact that it's not only the Prophet. The next imams, also we have some narrations that our actions are presented to them living in the world of Barzakh. And then we will come to the narrations about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam as well.
Okay.
So, for example, as I mentioned, the verse reads, فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Your deeds are seen by Allah, by the Prophet, and by the believers. Now, there are many narrations referring to the fact that Al-Mu'minun in this verse is referring to the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about this verse, what does Al-Mu'minun mean? And he said, هُمُ الْأَئِمَّةِ. They are the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. In another narration, the Imam said, "Nahnuhum, we are the mu'minun, the believers," mentioned in this verse. Buraid al-Hijri says that I asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam about the verse فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَالْ إِيَّانَا عَنَا. The verse is referring to us. And another narration says هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَالْأَئِمَّةِ تُعْرَضُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ كُلَّ خَمِيسٍ. Now when it comes to the quality and howness of this presentation or عرض الأعمال, the narration also refers to some details. For example, according to this narration, the deeds are presented to the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam every Thursday.
Okay.
كل خميس. In another narration, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam was told by one of his companions that أدعو الله لي ولأهل بيتي. Please pray for me and for my family members. This is very interesting narration. The Imam says, أَوَلَسْتُ أَفْعَلُ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ أَعْمَالَكُمْ لَتُعْرَضُ عَلَيَّ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Imam al-Rida alayhi salam said that, do you think that I'm not praying for you and for your family members? By God, your actions, so Imam al-Rida alayhi salam is talking about his time, the time that he is alive. He says that your actions are presented to me every day and night.
Mm-hmm.
The narrator says, فَاسْتَعْزَمْتُ ذَلِكَ. I was surprised. It was, surprising for me to, this claim was great for me to accept. But the Imam said that this is mentioned in the Quran, that فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Again, another narration, a companion tells Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam about the verse, and the Imam said, مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ يَمُوت وَلَا كَافِرٍ فَيُوضَعُ فِي قَبْرِهِ حتى يعرض عمله على رسول الله وعلى علي. Every person who passes away, whether a believer or a disbeliever, as soon as they are put in the grave, their actions are presented to the Prophet and the Imam Ali alayhi salam. So these are some narrations referring to the fact that all the actions that we do, whether good or bad, they are presented to the Prophets, to the Imams, and also to the Imam of the time, because Imam Rida alayhi salam says regarding his time that your actions are presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
So through a God-given knowledge, Imam is able to know about the actions, deeds done by the people.
All right. So is it significant that truly the prophets and the infallible Imams know about our deeds? I mean, does it have any effect in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaykh?
There are reasons why we have this concept of ardatul a'mal.
Uh-huh.
So one point is that the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam are what we call the true guides of the people after the Prophet. And also we have two kinds of hidayah or guidance. One is legislative and the other is creative. And for the Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam to be able to do al-hidayah to takwiniya, the creative guidance, they need to know the details of the actions of the people. This is one point.
Mm-hmm.
The other point is that when we realize that our actions are witnessed, are seen by the Prophet and the Imams, it may give us a kind of motivation to refrain from committing sins, because we feel ashamed before the Prophet and the Imams to realize that, for example, I claim to be a lover of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but through my actions, I'm going to, make him upset, mm-hmm. like every week, for example. Or I claim to be the lover of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but through my actions, I'm making him upset. If I realize that this is a true concept, the concept of Arul A'mal, it gives me a feel of, shame to be away from committing sins. And the other point is that the other good point for Ardul Amal is that for good people, when they commit some sins and the deeds are presented to the Prophet and the Imams, there is a good chance that the Prophet and the Imams would do istighfar on our behalf and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
do
for
the shafa
forgiveness.
Maybe, isn't it?
Yeah.
This session.
Just one last point, that when it comes to the times of Ardul Amal, we have different narrations in this regard, like every morning, every night, on Monday, on Thursday, mm-hmm. The beginning of each month, when a person is put in the grave. So they may refer to different types of presentation and different times. For example, the actions during the day are presented at night. The actions from night to the morning are presented on the morning. the actions of the week on maybe on Monday or Thursday, and then all the actions of the month at the beginning of the month, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration. The Hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam As is alive. He's passing life in major occultation, and he is an eyewitness to all our actions beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. Please. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
More than one-third of Iranian pilots of the Phantom fighter jets were martyred, captured, or went missing during the 8-year war between Iran and Iraq, marking the highest casualty rate among all branches of the armed forces. This program is dedicated to those unforgettable heroes. To the men of the most challenging cross-border operations, the Phantom fighter pilots of the Air Force. The Phantom fighter jet was originally designed to defend U.S. aircraft carriers against enemy aircraft. However, its exceptional capabilities led the U.S. Air Force to adopt it as well. With the ability to carry over 8 tons of weapons,